And now, broadcasting from their secret hideout, Checkpoint XP presents a show about comic books and superheroes. Robbie Landis, Joe Sloan, The Other Identity.
It's a comic, a movie. No, it's a podcast, The Other Identity, starring me, of course, Robbie Landis, and my co-host, Joe Sloan. Joe, I feel like every time I do that intro, it's never quite enough for you. What's that look on your face when I do that?
Every time, I'm just like, wow, it sounds as dumb as it did last time. Why do I still love it? It's okay, really stupid, good. But I really love it.
Okay, I'm like, man, that's perfect. That's so good. You ain't gonna find another podcast that uses that.
And maybe with good reason. I really enjoy both our intro and our outro. I think they're very fitting for a comic podcast. I can't believe they aren't used all the time.
Well, welcome everyone in it to another issue of The Other Identity. Of course, before we get into what we're talking about today, I want to go over a few, as our producer would call it, a few action items.
God, if I never hear the word action item again. This is true. I went and got the inspection done on my house today.
Oh, how did that go?
Well, it's an inspection, man. They find...
Uh-oh. Oh, no. Did we lose? We might have lost Joe. For those listening on the podcast or for those watching us on YouTube, Joe is going through... Joe's going through some tough times right now. His computer died on him. I think a while ago his laptop died, and I think he might be using somebody else's older laptop. So, are you back with us, Joe?
I think so.
There you are. Okay, he's back. He's back.
Oh man, on my end, I never left. I was like, I heard you that whole time.
Yeah, you just froze for a second, and now you're back.
Okay, well,
Joe,
no matter how
rough things get, just don't turn to the life of crime, okay?
Well, that's fair. You know what I am going to do? I am going to say apologize for this. I'm going to turn my camera off because we need the audio more.
That's fair.
All right. So, one sec. All right. So, yeah. So, I went and got my inspection done today. And the guy comes up to me after. He's like, all right. So, I've got a list of about 20 to 30 action items for you. And I'm like, oh, God. I don't even want the house anymore. Why would you say it like that?
I don't even want the house anymore. Right. So, guys, obviously, for our action items, I'm sorry, Joe. I'm sorry. What you're going to want to know is that if you stumble across The Other Identity, we do a ton of other content over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. It's also over at checkpointxp.com. We, of course, have our flagship show, which is Checkpoint XP. We do that on a daily basis over at our Twitch channel. That's every weekday starting at 5 Eastern and usually 7:30, 8 o'clock-ish is usually when we wrap up. But that is the nation's first syndicated talk show dedicated to esports and gaming. We're on, I think our count is around like the mid-60s as far as our affiliates go. So we're up in a lot of places all over the place. You can find out if you can catch us on your local radio station over at checkpointxp.com. And if not, you can obviously still find all of our podcasts, which includes The Other Identity now. And actually, I believe we're now, all of our podcasts are being separated into, or they now all have their own individual feeds.
Correct. So, they all have their own feed now.
Yep. So Checkpoint Daily, Low Team Damage, The Other Identity, as soon as we can start getting that up, the Checkpoint Podcast, and there's a lot more to come as well. So keep an eye out for those. And as always, though, if you want all this content, like as it comes out live, day one, the moment it debuts. The sausage being made. That is twitch.tv/checkpointxp. So, with that, Joe, you were actually the one who decided on our topic for this week.
Yeah, so I want us to talk about, Daredevil coming off of Netflix, and kind of we're going to start seeing all these series wrapping up on Netflix as we get closer and closer, I think, to the Disney streaming service. But before we get into that, I think we need to hit on something very important that just happened. We got the Captain Marvel trailer, the new one.
Yes.
Now, Robbie, you were not super big on the first Captain Marvel trailer.
I mean, it was okay.
But that's the problem, is it's a Marvel movie, and all you said was, it's okay.
Look, I actually have really, really high hopes for Captain Marvel, because while I haven't actually read a lot of her comics specifically, I actually do a lot of, this is going to sound super nerdy, research, like, on different superheroes. Like, I will spend hours just reading through, like, Wikipedia entries and, like, Marvel Wiki entries and stuff like that. And I actually do like Captain Marvel quite a bit. Like, as far as potential goes, I think that she is hands down one of, if not the most powerful character within the Marvel universe because of her binary form. Watching the first trailer, it struck me as Ant-Man like, and
right.
I don't mean that to be a insult either. You know, Ant-Man, especially the second one, came right after Infinity War, to where people were and it didn't have any greater impact that we've seen so far. So it was just kind of its own thing within this greater universe. And so after seeing the first Captain Marvel trailer, that's kind of how I felt about it. It was like, okay, I mean, obviously, yes, it's her story, but like, everyone's clamoring for Avengers 4 right now, right?
Right.
And I feel like we didn't see anything, quote unquote, new in it. And again, it's just a trailer. I know that trailers don't mean anything. So I am still excited. But this trailer, like, oh boy, man.
Yeah.
So I don't even know where to start, man.
I tend to agree with you on the first Captain Marvel trailer. When you say it's like Ant-Man, it's just that. So Ant-Man has one very specific power. You can, you know, shrink or expand. You can, you know, you can talk to ants.
I
mean, yeah. There's only so much of that you can really show in a trailer without giving it all away. Captain Marvel, you have a lot more potential to be able to show off really cool moments without giving away what's happening. And we didn't get that in the first one. Obviously, we got the awesome scene of her punching the old lady in the face, and everyone loved that.
I think Joe loved that.
I loved that, absolutely. But in this trailer, finally, we got to see, okay, there's the Captain Marvel, you know, I was expecting. There's my Super Saiyan woman. Like it looked really cool. I was super impressed. Like you say, I don't really even know where to begin breaking down this new trailer. Like,
I know that speaking for like Captain Marvel fans specifically, though, I think one of the things that they're probably really excited about is the fact that she actually has like not quite a visor. I guess you'd call it a helmet, but she actually has like a helmeted mode that actually has like the Mohawk look in it.
Yeah,
I was actually really surprised that that's something that they included. It was actually pretty true to some of the incarnations of Captain Marvel.
Well, and I mean, that's what we talk about, you know, the Netflix series, that they're always kind of like calling back to some of their older, you know, costumes or incarnations in weird new ways. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, no. And the thing is, too, with hers, they actually managed to stay very, very accurate to it without it seeming like weird or sort of over the top or overblown.
Right. Do you think that's because she's an alien?
No, not necessarily because, well, I don't know how much I want to spoil it for you.
That's fair.
Cause she's not quite, but like,
right.
It doesn't seem out of place.
Who's
one of the costumes that we had criticized was a little bit too, oh, right. Hawk and Dove from Titan, yeah. Right? If you were to see Hawk and Dove in real life, one of two things would happen. You would think that someone escaped from the crazy house, or you would be like, is there a convention nearby?
Right, who's cosplaying?
Right, there's a scene in the trailer, you know, after she crashes into the Blockbuster where she's like down in the subway or like a mass train. She's somewhere just amongst a bunch of people, and they're all just like walking around her. And while obviously she's not wearing normal clothes, she doesn't like really stick out, right?
Yeah, she's not super out of place.
Yeah, like obviously you're going to give her a second glance, but I don't know, that could be like some type of like motocross uniform or something like that.
Right.
So I don't know. Yeah, I think that there's something about her costume that I think that they really nailed, and like honestly, it looks really cool. I'm really excited.
Yeah, I mean, the scene for me that did it is that she's standing in front of the door, she's glowing, her power's, like, coming off of her. Like, that was the moment I wanted to see with Captain Marvel. I want to see her basically be a Super Saiyan. I want her to be awesome and powerful and interesting. And because, like, Marvel is one ironic to say about this about Marvel, but all of their heroes are very much usually grounded in reality. Like, there's,
I mean, obviously
weird,
science fiction, but there's a thread of reality they try to follow.
Exactly. She's one of the first ones we've seen where it's just like, oh, so she's a strange, you know, lady from outer space, and she can, you know, concentrate energy off of her. That's pretty cool looking. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen, like, the closest thing we've seen to Captain Marvel is Doctor Strange, right?
Yeah. Okay. And even that, they tried to find a way to, like, make it make sense.
Exactly. I don't know what they'll do with that in this, if they will try to have Captain Marvel make sense, or if they'll just say, no, she's just really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, it's kind of nice to see them do something a little bit different, which, I mean, Marvel movies, you know, again and again, they do something different and manage to make it interesting. Like, one of my favorite things about those movies is that when you compare Guardians of the Galaxy to Iron Man to Captain America, all of them are very tonally different while also being obviously Marvel movies. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's only a few where I felt like they played it safe. You know, the first Ant-Man felt like it was very safe. Even the first Avenger, Captain America, felt like it was a pretty safe bet.
I mean, Ant-Man, I think, suffered from having the director drop out halfway through. I feel like that's why we got that effect.
You're right. They did go through a few problems getting it started. But I mean, you know, overall, it's still really decent movies, and I think that the reason Captain Marvel is going to be interesting for us is going to be something new, because this is the first truly cosmic hero that we've gotten. I mean, the Guardians of the Galaxy, yes, opened up the cosmic world, and technically they all come from, like, different planets and whatnot, but no one so far has powers that are like Carol's, you know, especially if that is binary form that we're seeing. You know, just to give you a little insight into what binary form is that it gives her the power to, quote unquote, tap into the power of a white hole, which is described as being the energy that exists, like, between universes, allowing her to move at the speed of light, breathe in space, control gravity to a certain degree, use all types of energy across, like, all different spectrums. She's basically like OP, like super, yeah, super OP, like unlimited amounts of energy.
Right. Well, it's the same thing we'll see, you know, eventually, if we get to look at, like, the Silver Surfer, right? Mm-hmm. They have power on a very different scale than what we're used to seeing in our Marvel movies. Like, the reason Thanos is so, you know, the Infinity Stones are so unbelievable to us is because the heroes that we have in this universe are like Spider-Man, where they have very real limits that we can see. Tony Stark, he can only, you know, only as much as Earth technology can do, even if we're going to say it's, you know, it's somewhat futuristic Earth technology. Even Wakanda, which has unbelievable technologies, it's still kind of rooted in what we can, you know, imagine as being good tech.
Mm-hmm.
This is where we're going to start getting to see the cosmic heroes who can do things that we can't really fathom.
Yeah, you know, next episode we're going to be able to talk about the Avengers 4 trailer.
Man, I'm so excited. And now I'm hearing Spider-Man Far From Home also might be getting a trailer this week, too. I think that's coming on Friday, I heard.
In 1 week, what did we do to deserve this?
Yeah, next week might just be a trailer breakdown episode.
Okay, yeah. So let's talk about what we were planning on talking about today, and that is specifically the cancellation of Daredevil and what that obviously means. I mean, you know, when Luke Cage and Iron Fist got the axe, you know, nobody, I guess, like when we really kind of accepted and got to thinking about it, no one was really surprised.
When Luke Cage and Iron Fist got the axe, everyone went, oh no, Luke Cage.
Yeah.
And that was about it.
Yeah. Well, and it really, it honestly, it sucked for both of them too, because they both kind of went out on cliffhangers. I think Luke Cage more so than Iron Fist, because that at least had a resolution to the story, even if they did give it a cliffhanger ending.
Right.
Daredevil ended on a very, very nice and positive note. But when it was just Luke Cage and Iron Fist, and nobody was, you know, inside was really talking about it, you know, it was really anyone's guess what the hell was happening. Was it ratings? Was it Disney Plus? I mean, you know, are they coming back with the Heroes for Hire? Like what is going on? But when you cancel Daredevil, who has obviously been the runaway hit out of all of them so far, and I love Jessica Jones and Punisher too, and especially considering that Daredevil season 3 has the highest rating out of all of the Netflix shows, period. So I think it's sitting at like a 94 on Rotten Tomatoes. That's when you realize that, okay, no, so there is something else at play here. And there's been a lot of different rumors that have been coming out from inside the industry, whether it's critics or writers or directors or executives.
Have we already confirmed there's no more Punisher, too?
No. We are going to get another season of Punisher, which is wrapped filming, and we're going to get another season of Jessica Jones, which is wrapped filming. And then I fully believe that after each of those airs, they'll get the axe. I mean, you take out Daredevil, there's absolutely no reason to think that the other ones are going to be safe.
So, and we, at the end of the day, we can probably hazard a guess as to why all these shows that are ostensibly doing fairly well are getting axed. Like you say, Iron Fist,
Power Man is what you were going to say. That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. He's Power Man.
You know, that sort of thing gets axed. No one's all that surprised because, it was pretty not good.
Yeah.
But, like you say, Daredevil, I mean, even I watched through Daredevil, and I'm pretty stubborn about doing some of those Netflix shows. I thought Daredevil was awesome. I thought Punisher was great. Like, Jessica Jones I enjoyed. Like, those shows I'm very surprised to hear getting canceled.
Yeah,
until you think about it for a second.
I mean, but really, like, what do you mean by until you think about it for a second? Because unless they plan on immediately taking these properties and creating Disney Plus shows for them, I honestly don't see what the reason was for canceling them. Because it wasn't Netflix that did it. Because Netflix actually gets to retain the shows. You can go and watch from now until the end of time, you can go and watch Daredevil and Jessica Jones and all those on Netflix. They're not losing those, okay? And obviously Netflix was paying Marvel for those. So it's not like Marvel was necessarily losing out on money. Could they probably make more money if they had those properties? Absolutely. But everything that I've read so far suggests that that's not what Disney has planned for them. And, you know, we know that they plan on making The Vision and Scarlet Witch. There have been new rumors now that The Vision is going to co-star in that. We have the Loki series. We have the series that's going to see The Falcon and The Winter Soldier team up. So it seems like they're going to use Disney Plus as a way to extend the MCU. And, you know, I've been, and granted, it's all rumors. It's he says, she says. So it's hard to take anything with, you know, 100% truth. But it seems like the Marvel movie execs and the Marvel TV execs, or the Marvel Netflix execs specifically, did not get along very well. And it seems to me that the reason that the Netflix shows were canceled were more out of spite than anything else. And for anyone who comes here, because I can already hear Norris in the back of my head, they didn't want the competition. But they were Marvel properties on Netflix, right? Joe, when Disney Plus comes out, were you suddenly going to be like, oh no, I have to choose between Netflix and Disney Plus?
No, I wasn't.
Okay, how come we're not canceling The Runaways over on Hulu? How come we're not canceling The Gifted? How come we're not canceling Cloak and Dagger? Like, the fact that it's like a competition thing, no, I don't believe that for one second. Because Marvel has properties all over the place that they're getting money from. And it is doing well.
Right, so what I would say to that is, I think what we're seeing, the ones that are getting canceled are the ones we're going to see a Disney version of.
But it's like all of them.
That's why you're not seeing Runaways. That's why you're not seeing The Gifted. Those kinds of shows, they're not getting canceled because I don't know that Disney has a plan for them at the moment.
So you do think that we're going to see Disney? I think they're going to have to reboot it, which is absolutely heartbreaking because Charlie Cox, Kristen Ritter, and John Bernthal to me were the embodiment of those characters. Period. But you fully expect to see those rebooted at some point on Disney Plus?
Yeah, I do. And I mean, Ash Saber is pointing out that we're the until the deal with Fox is like completely finalized and all those assets transfer over. I mean, they literally can't cancel those yet. So that we might, in all fairness, we may be singing a different song here about what is it like? It's supposed to happen in the first quarter of 2019.
I think so, actually, a lot quicker than what anyone thought it was going to be. Yeah.
Yeah, so that we know that that's coming. We're probably going to get some sort of clue for where X-Men are going to enter the MCU at some point. And as all that starts happening, that's where we might see those shows get canceled. But yeah, no, I do believe that there will be an incarnation of Daredevil. Because, like, the other option is you let Netflix keep making it, and you just don't have it on your service. You don't have any... You don't use them. Mm. I mean... You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I don't. I mean,
and if they do use them, if in a year, 2-3 years, we do see, you know, the Defenders level stuff popping up on Disney Streaming Plus. All right, fine. I get it. But if they end up not touching those properties, like, that is such a crime. It's such a waste. Thank you. Because I don't think you do it twice. I don't think you are going to be able to nail Daredevil like they did on the Netflix. And in fact, you don't even try because you don't want to just come up with like the same thing, right? You have to find a way to differentiate it. And I think you run a really big risk in it not landing. And at that point, that is going to be 100% on Marvel, because from everything that I've been reading, and again, if this is true or not, grain of salt, everyone. They had actually already had a meeting. They had already pitched season 4. They had a meeting. They had storyboarded it all out. Season 4 was in the writer's room ready to go when it basically came down. Like, the whole creative differences things, that was between Marvel and Netflix. And I think Marvel was basically just like, nah, nope.
Yeah. Well, I think Ash Saber actually makes a good point that the stories that we've gotten so far from the Netflix series, they were tangentially related to what was going on in the MCU. So... I think you can continue those stories if you want to, right? Like, if they wanted to maintain those casts and continue those stories, they could.
I bet there's something like contractually, like something in the contracts that Marvel and Netflix's Daredevil, the Charlie Cox Daredevil in story. I don't know that you can just pick that. I mean, Marvel obviously has the money now to figure that out if they wanted to,
right?
But also not having access to those shows on their Disney Plus, like imagine it just
weird.
Picked up at season 4. I don't know. I mean, that would be best case scenario, 100%. And again, as of now, you're not going to find a better Matt Murdock. You're not going to find a better fucking Nelson. You're not going to find a better of any of those. Probably Iron Fist. You can find a better Iron Fist. I guarantee you that. But
let me ask you this.
I don't know, man.
We still have almost no idea what movies are coming post Avengers 4. What if Daredevil's in there?
No.
I mean, listen, they cancel those series. There's no more story coming out of Netflix that would clash with anything that they want to do. I mean, the Defenders. What if there's a Defenders movie coming?
No.
I don't know, man.
Do you think so?
I mean, yeah, Ash Saber suggesting also Heroes for Hire. Like, those are movies maybe we see in Phase 4.
I mean, but it's not going to use those. I don't think it's going to use those actors, man.
Maybe not. I'm not suggesting that it will. I'm suggesting
such a mess now. I am so upset because how do you bring another Daredevil into the MCU? I mean, basically at this point, what Marvel has to say is the Netflix stuff is no longer canon.
Yeah, there's only one person they can get to play Matt Murdock now that would make any sense.
Okay.
It's got to be Scarlett Johansson. She plays everything. It's the only thing that makes sense.
Except she... I don't even want to dignify that with a response. We do actually have a little bit more of an idea of, I think, who we're going to see coming into the next phase. Actually, there was... Oh, crap. I forget his name now. And he's not actually someone that I'm at all familiar with. But they're looking at... the rumors going around now are that the next major hero franchise in the MCU is going to be led by an Asian star. It's going to be it was something like Chi Liang or something like that. Does that is that familiar to you in any? Here we go. Shang-Chi film. I'm sorry, Shang-Chi. Yeah, Marvel is reportedly developing a Shang-Chi film franchise. Shang-Chi, Master of Kung Fu. They have a Chinese-American writer is going to be handling the film's screenplay. Currently looking for a director for it. Dave Callahan did help write the upcoming Wonder Woman 1984 and is actually going to be the one penning Spider-Man's Into the Spider-Verse sequel.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. And Dark Flux suggested no, it should have been Ben Affleck that comes back to play Daredevil.
This character, the son of a China-based globalist, Shang is a master martial artist who grew up isolated from the larger world, unaware that his father is evil and possibly centuries old. Shang is led out into the world only to do his dad's bidding. The film's said to be similar to Black Panther in that it takes care to avoid stereotypes and blends Asian and Asian American themes as told by the Asian and Asian American creators. So it seems like since Netflix bombed out Iron Fist
that we're going to get a do-over with Shang-Chi.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
I can tell you something. I've read comics a long time and I've never heard of Shang-Chi. I don't know who that is.
I have unfortunately never heard of Shang-Chi as well. So very, very early reports, obviously. I think that I don't know if we can start to expect more rumors and answers after just the trailer for Avengers 4, or if we're going to have to wait until after the movie itself before we start hearing anything about what the next phase.
I really think we're going to have to wait until after Avengers 4.
I think so as well, because I think that the Fox merger opened up so many doors for them that they also now have to wait for that to be finalized as well. I mean, I think that they have plans of what they want to do, but I think once that's finalized and once Avengers is out, then I think that we'll start to get more answers.
Right. I mean, they can know some of their plans. Like, we're still going to see a Black Panther 2. We're going to have another Spider-Man movie. That's
Doctor Strange
next year, right?
Actually, that's the film following Avengers 4 is Spider-Man Far From Home, because it's supposed to take place 5 minutes after the end of Avengers 4.
Right.
Like,
the actual
aftermath of it.
Doctor Strange 2, we're never getting Guardians 3, but we would have had that.
They're still obviously looking for it. Last I heard, they were eyeing. What director was it? It was someone we're familiar with, but his name is
Ron Perlman.
Now it's not. Has Ron Perlman directed anything?
I have no idea. I don't think so. Who's the guy who just did Solo? That guy.
I liked Solo. Thank you very much.
And I liked that.
And I don't think that Solo's problems was with the director.
Oh God, no! Absolutely, no. I thought I really enjoyed Solo, but that's a whole different discussion topic.
Yes, yeah. And even trying to like Google really quick, like who they're considering, just brings up James Gunn stuff.
Yeah. So let me ask you this: what do you want in the Avengers 4 trailer? What do you want to see?
Man, I'm actually kind of scared because early on when we first started getting like rumors and leaks about Avengers 4, there was a Reddit leak of someone who had claimed to have seen the trailer, and he basically like described it all like just broke it down, you know, scene by scene by scene, and there's actually a trailer like a YouTube trailer creation company that took some crappy Marvel game and actually recreated that trailer, which is really, really fun to watch. But I could see that trailer in that timeline actually, or that storyline actually being true. And so what I'm actually afraid of is that if this trailer comes out and confirms, even if it's not the same trailer, if it even hints at or confirms anything from that supposed trailer, that supposed timeline.
Yeah.
Now it's all been spoiled for me. Like when I read that, let's see, that's the only leak I've read. And when I read it, I immediately regretted it.
Yeah. Because you're like, you saw that it was going to be a leak. Now you're in, you're excited. And then you read it. And immediately after, you're like, crap.
Right.
And that's all true. It's all spoiled.
It is. It is. Now, granted, I also thought that I was spoiled for Infinity War. I remember seeing a tweet that said, Tony's dead, Wakanda's in ruins, and Cap is basically a crippled mess. And none of that was true. So.
Right. All three of those didn't pan out.
Yeah. So, I don't know. So, honestly, what I wish would happen, and I realize if Marvel did this, the entire world would burn itself from the inside out, is if the Avengers 4 trailer didn't actually have any footage from Avengers 4. It was like a three-minute sort of like retrospective that just like got you hyped up for everything that's happened thus far. And then we get the title card. And that's actually the only new information they get us up to premiere. We get no actual footage. Just the title card.
Robbie, I can't believe I'm saying this, but you and I are in perfect lockstep. I have one change that I'm making to that because I want this one thing to be very specific about it. Instead of just a 3-minute retrospective of everything that's happened, I want 3 minutes of Louise explaining to us everything that's happened so far.
See, what else would actually be cool is if the promotion for Avengers 4 was obituaries for every character that was lost.
Oh god!
Like every few weeks they would like release a Spider-Man one, and it's just it's just a 2-minute trailer of Spider-Man that makes you feel horrible because he's gone.
Yeah,
that'd be really brutal. Cool as well. Yeah,
there's so many cool like viral marketing things that they could do with Avengers 4, and you're right, like they don't have to show any of it. Like we don't have to see a minute of Avengers 4 before we get to it. I would just You have plenty in this being a continuation of the last movie to build off of to get everyone excited for this one.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's actually a YouTube channel, and I'm not sure if I have it saved. Basically, what this guy has been doing is he's made a bunch of fan videos. He doesn't even just do it for Marvel characters. There's like a Doctor Who one, but okay, here I found him. Slyfer, that's Slyfer 2812. And if you want to just depress yourself beyond all belief, this guy basically edits together 5 to 10 minute videos that sort of like, they're like vignettes or videos of specific characters, and it basically kind of shows you
like montages.
Yeah, montages. And there's one for Loki. You will never be a god. There's actually one for Darth Vader, Steve Rogers. I'll be there, and it's basically just like tributes. There we go. It's like tributes to these characters, and they will absolutely break your heart and make you so depressed. But they're also so well done.
Oh no.
Yes, yes. Like there's even one for Thanos called "What Did It Cost." They're really, really well done. One for Frank Castle, "They're Gone." Like, they're really good. I actually completely forgot that I had bookmarked this because I wanted to go back and just... I watched one with my girlfriend, and she's like, no more. No more tonight.
Oh, poor Katie.
So, yeah. Yeah. One for Tony Stark, "I'm Only Human, and I Bleed When I Fall Down." Like, there's... Go and watch these. This guy makes some really, really, really good stuff. But yeah,
I'm gonna make Stereoscopic watch them.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's about all the time we have for today, guys. Of course, if you enjoy our content, please make sure that you head on over to twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Give us a follow. That's where you can find everything that we do. You can also find us on our social media handles. Personally, for me on Twitter, that's Robbie. That's IE_. Landis CP, and Joe is, I believe you're at Escalia, Escalia.
Correct.
And then, of course, you can find us Checkpoint XP on Facebook, Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Joe, anything else you would like to add?
Nope, but make sure you tune in today for Checkpoint XP Daily. We'll be getting you the latest in video game, esports, and gaming news. We'll be joined by Sarah Skopic for her first episode of the show. In addition, we'll also be airing an interview we did with Jonas Jerebko, power forward for the Golden State Warriors and owner of the Detroit Renegades.
Yep.
So we'll be doing that today.
And of course, if you're listening to this on YouTube or the podcast, you can go and find all of that stuff over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp or checkpointxp.com, and that Checkpoint Daily is every weekday starting at 5 p.m. Eastern.
So until next time, will the Avengers 4 trailer be a disappointment? Will the Spider-Man trailer be a disappointment? Will Joe finally get a working camera? Find out next time. Same Twitch channel, same Twitch time.
Country.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.